Okay. So freedom. Freedom. What? How would you? Okay, no, wait. Sorry. Before we start, let's pray quickly. Then I can. Father, just thank you for this amazing evening. I thank you that you come to speak to us, Father. And I thank you that we have access to your presence. And I thank you that you are here in this room. And Father, I just pray that whatever is said tonight, that it will be your words and not my words, oh Father God. And that you will have your way. And if it's not from you, God, we don't want any part of it. And we just pray that in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we just pray that people will see you for the first time. They will understand you for the first time. And Jesus, we just declare that you are King and Lord of all. And all glory and all honor belongs to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. So, what if I told you, okay, that you, for the next 10 years of your life, okay, you can take your bank card out and you can swipe it as many times as you can, and in the morning, 100,000 rand will be deposited into your account, whatever you do. Okay. Yeah. Maybe the way you spend money today is going to change a little bit, right? Okay. So what if I told you? Okay. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you jump off a cliff, you go skydiving, you drive a race car as fast as you can, whatever. If anything happens to you, there's no ways that you can receive any injury or death or anything. Okay? So, go bungee jumping, go skydiving, drive a race car really fast, annoy your mother-in-law, whatever you did, you would not be able to receive any injury or death. Okay? Maybe the way you're going to act is going to be a little bit different, right? You're going to see how far you can push this, okay? This could be amazing. I could really take some risks. I could really do some really stupid stuff I've wanted to do for a long time, but I'm afraid of breaking my leg. You know, that kind of stuff. The guys will know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for patient wives. Maybe the way you're going to spend money is going to be a little bit different, right? Maybe you're going to be a bit more generous. Maybe you're going to be buying cars. Maybe you're going to be buying other people cars, right? Okay, maybe this is your definition of freedom. Imagine never having to worry about when money is coming in or what's going to happen with your life, when you're going to get food, what clothes you're going to wear, any of that. The way you're going to live is going to be different, right? Maybe this is what freedom is to you, but I want you guys to discuss, just go to the next slide. I want you to quickly break up into some groups, and I want you to talk about in your own context. First off, what is freedom? And then, do we need freedom? Are we not really free? Like, you know, we live in the most freest society, modern society. There have never been... In today's age, there have never been less people in slavery. There have never been as many people that are above the poverty line. Okay, there's still a lot of people that are poor. There's still a lot of people that are involved in human trafficking, etc., etc. But as we sit and breathe today, those numbers have never looked better if you take the whole history up until now. Okay, that's amazing. So, okay, freedom, aren't we free? We live in South Africa, freedom of religion, freedom to worship where we want. It's amazing. Use it while you still can. dramatic pause. Okay, so what is freedom? And then do we need freedom? Discuss in some groups. So just go to the next slide. So here are some visual aids to help you. What is your picture of freedom? EFF, America... Maybe the mountains, maybe the high school kids, freedom, double data, yes! Okay, discuss, break into groups. What is freedom? Do we need freedom? What is freedom in your context? Okay. Okay, Jama. Okay, Jama. Hello, everybody. Tell the people that talk a lot, okay? Now you need to keep quiet. Okay. So, what is freedom? Short one sentence. What is freedom? What do you guys say?
Okay. So we decided that, I decided that freedom is God, and freedom without boundaries is chaos. Yes.
Sure. Okay. Okay. It's cool. I like that. I have decided this is what it is. Hey, Jama. What is freedom?
So our group said it's either you're free or you're dumb. So
okay. Not sure how I feel about that one, but we'll let it slide. But Jama, you look great today, I just want to say. Okay, what did you guys say? What is freedom?
Leanne wants to talk.
You can talk.
Leanne doesn't want to talk. Yes, we said there's fear if there's no freedom. And you cannot go places. You are in a box, the world limits you. And what else did we say? It doesn't sound so deep now after we reveal it now.
That's okay. Okay, freedom, absence of fear. It's pretty good. Let's get some people. Uncle Philip, I'm coming for you. You ready, Uncle Philip?
Whom the sun sets free. Okay, freedom also requires responsibility. Freedom is not freedom to do whatever you want to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Uncle Ben. Great power comes great responsibility. That was a joke. Okay, great. So when we're talking about freedom, I think we have to do when you're about to go on matric vac and then your parents have to sit you down and go, here are the rules. Don't drink. Don't do drugs. Go to bed before you leave. Okay, so we're going to have that conversation now. Okay? Because we need to put freedom in perspective. We have to understand where we've come from to understand where we're going. So here's the reality. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned. Just now, thank you. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Okay. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's two parts to that. First off, sin. Okay? And then the second part is that we've fallen short of the glory of God. So it's not just that we've done bad things. It's also that we haven't lived up to our potential. Okay? So in Psalm 51 verse 5, we're told that we are born into sin. Okay? So here's what happened. Adam and Eve were created by God. They were created perfectly. Nothing was wrong. In fact, when God created the earth, after every day, he said, "This is good." Not, "This is good," but no, "This is good," full stop. This is good. Man is good. Everything that God created was perfect. There was no sin in the world. There was no death. Everything was without blemish. It's an amazing place. Right? And then we are told that by the acts of Adam and Eve, because they sinned, they allowed sin and death into the world. They were given responsibility for the world. God said, take dominion over the world. Take charge. Rule. The earth is yours. You're in charge. Don't mess it up. You've got one job. They messed it up. They had one job. And because of their sin, death came in. This is the amazing part, okay? Because God, in his mercy, spared their lives for a certain time, okay? And he prolonged judgment. Why? So that Adam and Eve's children, that's all of you, everybody who is alive today, come from Adam and Eve. So every one of us can have a chance to be reconciled to God. We were separated by the sin of one person. So Romans 5 verse 12 says that sin and death entered through the decision of one man. Okay? That's a tough break. So that means that you were born into sin. That's a tough pill to swallow. Okay? Whatever you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what you've come from, because of the mercy of God and his prolonged judgment, judgment is coming. Okay, that's why we talk about the judgment day, the end of days. That day when God will bring about his judgment for what has happened will come. And everything that we have done or not done will come before God. Okay? It's going to happen. Okay? And those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will go to heaven. Those who don't will go to hell. There's a hell. There's a heaven. Okay, we have to have these expectation management talks. This is a reality that we face. Okay, and because of Adam, this is the world that we live in. And God, by his mercy, made a way for us in the midst of this. Okay, so it's not just that you're born into sin. It's not that you do bad things. Okay, and yes, you are a sinner. You've got to make peace with it. If you've lied, you are a liar. If you've stolen, you are a thief. If you've killed someone, you are a murderer. Hopefully there's. But even still, God's grace abounds. God's forgiveness is sufficient. Amen? Okay. This is the amazing part. Okay. Don't worry, it gets better. Okay, it gets better. Okay, but we gotta have these realistic talks, okay? Death is real, hell is real. You will be held accountable for your actions. You are responsible for your life and the way that you steward it and for what you get given. Okay? Now I said, remember that there were two parts to that scripture. Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned, that's the first part. So sin, that's all the bad stuff you do, but there's a second part to that. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That God's standard is up here. Okay? And God created you not to be victims, but to be rulers, to take dominion over the earth. Okay, and this is amazing. When I was in my university days, I had a conversation with non-Christians or atheists, and you start a conversation about climate change. Oh yeah, no, we're really messing up the world. Oh, you know, people they're not stewarding the world well, okay? We're driving cars that use petrol, and we're polluting the earth, and we're not taking care of the animals, and we're not taking care of ground. We're just building massive factories instead of leaving parks and stuff for our children, and pollution and all of those things. Then you talk about, so sin. Oh, yeah, why does a good God allow bad things to happen? And you're like, well, you just told me that we were in charge of the world and we're messing it up. So what's going on here? Okay, and people understand when you talk about the environment and nature, people understand that we as people are messing it up. That we as people have the potential, for great things. Stewarding that the earth, the world can look like a completely different place if we steward the earth well. If we steward our resources well, if we steward our relationships well, our country can look a different place. The world could be a different place. Amen? We understand that. Non-Christians understand that. Atheists understand that. We know that everything that we have or need is in our hands. The world is in our hands. We understand that dominion is ours over the earth. Right? We know that. And yet the Bible tells us that anything that you think that you've done well, God counts that as filthy rags. So whatever you did, you bought some food for a homeless guy, great, filthy rags. Helped your mother clean the dishes, you used the filthy rag. That was a joke, you can laugh. Yeah. Parable of the talents. I'm not going to read that now, but I want you to write that down. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Parable of the talents is amazing. There's a master goes out. Just write it down. Read it in your quiet times during the week. But a master goes out. Before he leaves, he gives three servants money, or they call them talents. It's an amount of money. So one talent would be the equivalent of 1 year's wages for the average servant. So imagine you took your salary for the whole year, okay, and you got that five times as much as that. And imagine I came to you and said, I'm going to give you 5 years worth of salary in your pocket. You can do with it whatever you will. Anyway, so the master comes and he gives one talent to one servant, two talents to another servant, five talents to another. So you know this one. And he comes back, and the guy with five talents says, look, I've gotten you five more. You gave me five, I got you five more. He has 10. Master goes, oh, well done. Great and faithful servant. Guy with two talents. Master, you gave me two talents. He has two more. He has four. Master goes, oh, well done. Great and faithful servant. Come sharing the joy of your master. And then the guy with one. This is the amazing part. The guy got one talent. So imagine I received my full year's wages. Amu comes to me and says, Luke, here's your salary for the year. Okay? And I want you to steward this well, and I want you to do something with it that we can really use next year. Amu disappears for a year, takes a year sabbatical. He comes back. And I say, Amu, I didn't do anything. I didn't spend the money. I didn't waste it. I didn't throw it away. I didn't go on a holiday to Mauritius or anything. So here's your money back. And Amu was like, Luke, you had one job. And this is the amazing thing about this parable, is that when the master comes back, he's not angry at his servant because he wasted the money. Okay, he literally gives the talent back to the master. He hasn't spent any of it. He gives him exactly what he got. But he's angry at him because he didn't use it. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that for a second. He's angry. Why is he angry? Because there's only one reason. Because he believed that the servant was capable of doing something more with it. He believed in the potential of the servant. In other words, he was angry at the servant for not living up to his potential. When we talk about, okay, there's two parts to this. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Not living up to the glory of God is not reaching your potential. In other words, you are capable of something, and come judgment day, you will not be able to play the victim. No matter your background, no matter your circumstances, no matter the political landscape in which you were born, your geography, the amount of money you have or don't have, okay, come judgment day, there will be no excuse for you not living up to your potential. Pressure. Okay. So here's the reality. We live forfeited lives. Okay? Adam and Eve sinned. They were given responsibility. They were given great power and had great responsibility. Okay? And because of their actions, sin came into earth. And because we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, we are born and we have inherited that sin. As you sit, live, and breathe, the judgment of God is on you. The wrath of God is on you. Okay? That's who you are. That's what's happening. Okay? And I'm saying this in love, and I have to say this in love. Okay? However, but there is good news. This is where it gets better. Okay, so I want you to open your Bibles to Romans 5, and Thomas's, you can help me out, hand out Bibles. Romans 5, verse 12 to 21. Okay, stick up your hand if you don't have a Bible. At the back there, hand out some Bibles. Thanks, Armand. So the deal is, if you don't have a Bible at home, you can keep it. If you do have a Bible, please return it. Some more at the back there. Okay, I think... Does anybody else? There's one more here. Somebody else need? Okay, we're good. Great. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes just to read through that. So it's Romans 5, verse 12 to 21. You can go. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Amen. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might even reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't this amazing, okay? That through one person, Adam and Eve messed up. Okay, and because of them, we are born into sin. But then, okay, but then, through all Israel's messing up, through the law, they asked for the law. God said, hey, come up the mountain, let's dwell together. They said, no, God, we'd rather have the law. God gave them the law. They kept messing up. Okay, through one another, blah, 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 whole Old Testament and this guy lived in the eyes of the Lord. This guy didn't live in the eyes of the Lord. And it's a big mess. The whole Old Testament is just, it's a big mess. It's man trying to prove that they can live up to God's standard and fail miserably. And through all of that, we start off with Jesus. Okay. And there's, and the amazing part about this is that Jesus didn't need anybody to do anything for him, for his death and resurrection to validate your life. Okay, there's nothing that you did. There's nothing that you can do. So into the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of, as you sit here, that the wrath and the judgment of God stands on your life, Jesus comes in and he says, okay, where death, where the judgment of God, where the wrath of God falls on your hand, I will take that place for Johan. And Johan, you're now free to do as you will. You're free. Don't worry about it. I got it. Okay? Amal, wrath of God is on you for all those terrible things you do to Luke. Don't worry about it. I'll take it. Okay? Armand, all those things messed up, all those things you did in your past, everything, just man, you are a bad person. But Armand, where you deserve death, I'll take the death for you, okay? Don't worry about it. I got this. Thomas, I don't want to start with you. But Thomas, everything that you've done wrong, don't worry about it. I'll take it, okay? I'll take it. I got it. Don't worry about it. And for each and every person, that's how it is. Jesus comes to you and says, hey, everything that you've done wrong, your life, all of it, your past, your bad parents, the unfairness, political situation, geographical situation, economic situation, whatever your fault, whatever's not your fault, whatever has been done to you, whatever you've done. Okay, everything that will stand on you, come judgment day, Jesus comes and says, don't worry about it. I will take the penalty for this. This is the amazing part about it. And through one person's obedience, through Jesus' obedience, even until death on the cross, you and I sit here, not as sinners, but as children of God. Okay, think about that. You've messed up, stole, lie, cheat, steal, whatever. And you can now sit here and be called a child of God. Okay, that should blow your brain. There's nothing that you've done, there's nothing that you can do, but that is the amazing grace of God. Two scriptures I want to end off with. Romans 10 verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Isn't that amazing? Okay, where the law of God, okay? So and don't listen to people when they say that the law does not apply today. The law does apply today. And it applies to you if you don't know Jesus. Okay? The minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the law is now fulfilled, the law is met, and you go with a clean slate. The law no longer applies to you in that regard, assuming that you have accepted Jesus and his fulfilled work on the cross. Okay? That's amazing. All judgment passes over you. Come judgment day, and I say, okay, Victor, yes, man, you're really bad. You're really bad, okay? Jesus is going to walk in and say, I am Victor's attorney, and Victor did all of this stuff, but I paid the price. God's going to say, okay, Victor, it's chilled, even though those drag races were really bad. It's not that you did drag racing, it's just that you kept losing. Don't worry about it. I forgive you, Victor. Come into heaven, share in the joy of your master. Yes. Victor, do it. Yes, great. Okay, this is the next really cool scripture. Hebrews 9 verse 12. He entered once and for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. I get goosebumps every time I read that scripture. Hey, that, exactly. That, it's like, it's, This was the law. The law required sacrifice, goats, calves, you know. There were a lot of animals killed in the Old Testament. They did a lot of bad things. And Jesus is like, enough. By my own blood, I will go into the most holy of holies. By my own blood, I will secure eternal life for you. Not by Amul's great deeds and everything that he does for his amazing employees. Okay? Not by Arnu pitching up to serve, not by Armand leading the youth, not by any of these great things, but by my own blood I will secure eternal life. So this particular scripture, you know, before I got saved, it was a good 8 years ago, 2010, I got saved on the 25th of July. And before that, I had a great student life in the sense that, you know, I smoked a lot of weed, got drunk a lot, and it felt good in one sense, but in the other sense, there was no life to it. And every weekend was the same thing, doing the same thing week in, week out. And there was a time in the beginning of 2010, remember, after a night of you know, a rough night of partying, drinking, whatever, I remember sitting on the couch, looking out the window, and I was like, is this it? Okay? And I remember being so under stress, so under pressure for exams, for studies, Okay, I honestly at that point I felt like I am one step close to messing up and ending up on the streets. My parents are going to disown me. My friends are going to disown me. I don't know where my life is going. If I mess up now, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay? And I remember thinking then, okay, because I believed in God, sort of. I think I believe more in like, you know, higher power thing. But I remember thinking that if there is anything out there, okay, there has to be something more. And at that point also, struggled a lot with depression, you know. So 2010 came along, 25th of July. I got saved 2 weeks before that. I was smoking a joint by myself. And so what happened was I started to have a massive panic attack. And in this panic attack, if you've ever smoked weed before, you'll know that you don't hallucinate. You just, your brain does very funny things. But in this high state, I started to see stuff. And I saw, and one of the things that I saw was this book. And this book was, you know, it was my life, basically. And it was very depressing to look at that point. And there was really nothing, you know, all my years of partying and smoking weed, there's nothing to show for it. Okay, and it's not like I haven't done anything with my life as well. You know, I've been to 24 different countries. I climbed up Kilimanjaro, scuba dived in Zanzibar. You know, did all those, you know, cool things. And still, when I looked at that, it's just, so what? You know, and as I'm looking at this book begins to close, and I started to freak out because in my mind, you know, and this is the paranoia, the stoner paranoia kicking in. In my mind, I was convinced that when that book closed, I'd be a vegetable and there's nothing more. You know, and I'm going to die right there. And in the midst of that, there's this golden figure that appears right there and he yanks this book open. And I remember I was sitting down at the moment, stand up, and I was dead sober. I could, like, no pun intended. I was in my clear mind and I hear a voice as clear as day saying, okay, you've got one of two choices. This is like a Matrix moment, blue pill or the red pill. One of two choices, okay? You can go back to bed, wake up in the morning, and everything's going to be fine. Carry on with your life. Same, nothing's going to change, do whatever. But, or, you get up now, you make a decision that it's got to change, okay? And I didn't really know what that meant. Okay, what does it mean that I got to change? So, but I decided I've had enough of this, and I can't have anymore. So, I went to my mother, told her everything. That was a very long, awkward conversation. I gave all the weed, all the other stuff, and 2 weeks later, I got invited to church. You know, a lot of stuff happened in between then, but basically, I ended up at church, and in my sober state, I met with God for the first time. I'd known of him. I grew up in a Christian home and all, but I'd met him for the first time. But the amazing thing that happened there was that all fear of life left me completely. And I received eternal life and eternal life, eternal salvation, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to talk about, what I want to end off with tonight, okay? Because for a lot of us, a lot of our Christian walk, we end on the day, our stories end on the day that we get saved, okay? That's not freedom. Freedom is what happens after that day, okay? And for a lot of us, we're still trying to hash out the fact that we're saved. People still trying to work out their identity after they've gotten saved, as if they don't have an identity that matches with Christ. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go through difficult times, not at all. In fact, we're told that we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2. Go read that. Awesome scripture. Okay. But this is what I want to end off. And if you get anything, okay, this is what I want to end off with, okay? Freedom starts after salvation, okay? If I'm going to define freedom, to me, freedom is whatever happens after salvation, okay? And for a lot of us sitting as Christians, okay, we're free, we're on this side, but we're still trying to do stuff to get to that day of salvation. Okay, we're still living under religion. We're still living under law. But here's the question. So I asked you, imagine if you had unlimited funds. Imagine if you had, you know, nothing could happen to your body, do whatever crazy stuff. Imagine, okay, bear with me. Imagine, what if I told you that you had Jesus in your heart and you are going to heaven? And if you got struck dead right now, you're going to heaven, no matter what. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Okay? You never, ever have to think about trying to get salvation. This is what's, and if anybody asks you what separates Christianity from other religions, okay, this is the difference. Christianity, the moment that you become a Christian, you start off saved, enlightened, in a state of up there, okay? All the other religions, you spend your whole life trying to work there, okay? Islam, they literally believe that there are two angels that follow you your whole life and take note of everything that you do good and everything you do bad, and come judgment day, they're going to put it up on a scale, and if it goes that way, oh, sorry, hell, and if it goes that way, okay, you can go to heaven. That's, I mean, imagine living with that kind of pressure, okay? Buddhists, they believe, they don't believe in an afterlife. Hopefully, maybe you'll reach enlightenment in a state where you understand all life, and if not, you'll die and come back as a piece of grass or something like that, if you're lucky. Literally, not even making that up. And yet, Jesus comes and says that everything that pertains to life and life in abundance, I give you. Okay? Jesus comes and says, as Uncle Philip quoted in Romans 8, verse 36, that those who the Son sets free are free indeed. Let's all stand together.